Hi, today is January 23rd, 2022. This is MobiViews Podcast 390. I'm Todd Agassiz-Ward, my good friend John Westfall, and we're going to call this one Goodbye to Various Services. Some are really not goodbyes, or just as Nobel laureate Bob Dylan once wrote, the times, they are a-changing.
Yeah, unfortunately a-changing if you use these services.
Yeah, indeed. And one thing that's not a service but just seemed to have more or less died on me is my AirPods Pro. I noticed that I could not... Well, they didn't come up as a paired device on my MacBook Pro, which they have been doing for many months now. And I noticed that when I looked at my iPhone, it was not listed as a paired device either. So I repaired them with both. And then it was weird because after repairing the AirPods Pro, the name of the device was still existing. So it didn't do some kind of research yet. But it added a hyphen Find My to the name of the device. And it worked for a minute, and then it unpaired all by itself on both devices, my iPhone and my MacBook Pro. And I repaired them, and the new text suffix, -findmy, disappeared. But now they can't be used as speakers, you know, as headphones. So might be toast. So the times they are changing, and I hope these are still under warranty. I'm thinking maybe not. I can't remember if I got... I can go check it. I can't remember if I got... extended warranty Apple Care for these, probably. Any rate, so the first thing that changed and disappearing affects me. And again, it's sort of a, you know, most of these, I think, are not so much disappearing as changing dramatically. So I've had a Microsoft Outlook Premium, Outlook.com Premium account, I should say, since, I don't know, 2015, 2014. Something like that. And what it allowed me to do was use Outlook with a custom domain. I used it with one of my custom domains, and it worked great. Because I think at the time, it might have been around 2015, my ISP was, not my ISP, my web hosting service, with which the email was associated with, was just having so many problems, for me at least. I was HostGator, by the way. That I just said, you know, I quit. You know, I'm just not going to subscribe to this anymore. It's just not worth the time fixing these things every day. And so I moved my little website over to Medium.com. I forwarded the domain to Medium.com. And Outlook.com Premium, which was pretty cheap. I think it was like $30 a year or $40 a year or something, let me use it as a custom domain so I could, you know, Todd at whatever. In 2017, Microsoft pulled the service, so you could no longer subscribe to Outlook.com Premium. But they grandfathered in people like me who had accounts. But they made it more and more difficult every year to renew. So the first year you could do it. In 2018, I think you could still do it on a website. In 2019, 20, and 21, last couple of years, I had to chat with a human being either on the phone or via, you know, live chat. But when I got my renewal notice just a few days ago, just last week, I said, oh, okay, you know, I'll block out some time because it always takes time to do this stuff, like a half an hour, 45 mm-hmm. minutes. And, you know, contact Microsoft and go through my renewal because it was worth the effort, you know, for a good price for a custom domain email. But when I tried to contact Microsoft, I came to dead ends. So, you know, you go to support.microsoft.com. And if you look real hard, and you need to look really, really hard, you can find their customer service number at 1-800-642-7676. 1-800-642-7676. So you can dial this yourself if you want to. And basically, when you reach that number, it says, yeah, you know, we don't have anybody to talk to you. I mean, not even press zero. You know, I tried pressing zero, but even though they don't say it, they get the human. So go to customer. No, go to whatever it is, right? Support.microsoft.com, which is where I came from. And, you know, you go to renewal, and then it says contact Microsoft, and it's, you know, basically it's an endless loop. So they really don't want me to renew.
They don't
want to
talk to you.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and that's the same thing, you know, as we're talking about. I'm actually right now waiting for another company to respond to me over text chat because their website is broken trying to show something that they don't really want me to find either, because it's a feature that they've discontinued, but I am grandfathered into, and they've discontinued it so well that when I go to find it, it just basically says, we can't pull up your information.
Ah, gee.
So Yeah, that is, you know, the theme of today's show is why are we punished for finding good deals in the past and not being able to continue to use them?
Yeah.
You had Outlook.com Premium.
Yep.
And our next topic was Google putting an end to the legacy G Suite.
Right.
Which, for those listeners...
Before you begin, John, and I know I want, because I want to let you rant away. I just want to note, you know, when a little company, like, you know, if we had a company called, you know, johnandtodd.com, and we provided some little service, and we decided one day, you know what, we just can't make money on this, and we're going to pull it. That's understandable. But when you're Google, or you're Microsoft, or, you know, come on. But anyway, I'm sorry, John, I interrupted your rant. Please go ahead.
No, and you're right. You know, these were, so G Suite, when it first came out, or Google Workspace, or whatever you want to call it, back when it was just Google Docs and whatever it was, they wanted to get people in, and they got a bunch of people in on the free tier. And I think if you've stuck with them this long on the free tier, I mean, I don't think we're costing them any money to be on the free tier, obviously. In fact, they don't add new features to the free tier, so it's not like we're even taking advantage of new things that we didn't quote unquote pay for.
Right.
So to those that remember G Suite or Google, you know, whatever you want to call it, it's gone through three or four different names. Google Apps for Domains, I think, was the original name of it. When it originally launched, you could sign up any domain for free and get 50 user accounts, 50. And you could set them up, use them however you want. They obviously were trying to get enterprises on board and more than 50 users. Then at one point in late 2000s, they dropped it to 10 users, and then they dropped it all together. Well, I have, I think, 6 or 7 of these free Google Suite accounts on various domains. Each are the 50 user accounts. Including some of my personal stuff that I use quite regularly, and I have some family members on it as well. And now we are losing that in the middle of the year. So on one hand, I have a weird rant about this because it doesn't always make cognitive sense. On one hand, I had all these features, but on the other hand, I never used them.
Okay.
You know, I didn't have 50 users. I didn't even have 2 users. I had on many of these accounts 1 user, and that was me. I didn't really have much need for all of it, but it was nice to have.
I know what you mean.
And it also kept me from doing other things with it. Like, I never thought, you know, so now with these being removed, it's almost like, well, maybe I just want to set up email forwarding somewhere and, you know, go back to just iCloud, or in fact, I think I might do iCloud because now it supports a custom from header so it can send out as my domain.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they just added that in this last year. Good timing for Apple to add that feature in.
I'm going to note that down.
Especially since Push Gmail no longer works on iOS for a long time. It hasn't, so we've had to deal with pulling email, which is ridiculous. So I'm pretty psyched about the idea of not having Gmail for my personal email, because I've thought about that on and off, and the only thing that has kept me on Gmail for my personal email is that I had this Google Apps installation that I'd had forever, and I wasn't going to lose it, you know, just without, even though I'd never used 95% of it. So yeah, I am bittersweet about this. It's nice that I now feel free to do other things, but it is bad in that I was forced to do that. It would have been nice to make it my own choice instead of, you know, Google just deciding we're going to kill this product.
You know, I just want to say that at the beginning, I had to stifle a laugh. I should have muted myself maybe, because when John noted, I don't think what he was talking about is called cognitive dissonance, but it is kind of a cognitive awareness. And I found it particularly funny because John is a cognitive psychologist.
Yes. Right. Yeah. I do spend a lot of time analyzing my own thoughts on these things.
And it was funny because just last year I was thinking about switching to G Suite to deal with my Microsoft Outlook.com Premium problem. And so I probably would have been doubly annoyed.
Well, yeah, really dodged a bullet on that one.
But, you know, and I will say, however, that, you know, I've had, let's see, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. I've had 5 years of service, paid service. I didn't get it for free. I paid for Outlook.com Premium for the last 5 years on a grandfathered account. And quite frankly, you know, had I been not procrastinating and lazy and so forth, I should have moved it earlier. So, you know, shame on me, partly. And I guess in a way, thank you to Microsoft for keeping it alive for 5 years so I could dodge it until now. But now I'm trying to figure out what to do. I had to change a couple of accounts that were still pointing to my, you know, my custom domain for email, for, you know, customer notification, things like that. So I've been slowly, well, I got to do it, speed it up now, but I've been changing it over. And I looked at my MX records for my email, which is in Google domain. Yeah, I subscribe. I registered my custom domain through Google Domains, and it looks like my MX records are still properly pointing at Outlook.com. Mm-hmm. So I think I should still receive email okay, but I will not, unless they kill that completely. I may have to do email forwarding instead of an MX record. We'll see. We'll find out. I'm hoping that the MX record will still be live and, you know, will still be valid. And I just won't be able to send email as a, you know, with my custom domain name, which is okay. It's not, it's a very little used thing, and I can change it if I need to. Anywho, but pretty annoying. So you're gonna move everything to iCloud now, John?
Well, I'm gonna do that at least with one of my domains. Okay. I do have a few other domains that I figure I have to do something with. So here and there, I'm going to be figuring it out. I do have until July or so at the last to finish this up and get it moved. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I need some parity in my email, because I do have 3 or 4 email accounts, and I download local copies of all my emails, which I think is a good idea for anyone to do. But the problem is a unified search of all those email accounts is kind of difficult. They're all plain text EML files. So I'm now looking into search platforms, things like Apache Solr and stuff like that, where I can run my own internal search engine, in a sense, on across my network attached storage and grab all the documents or all the emails or all this and that from any account, etc. So that's my next goal, because after that, honestly, then I wouldn't have any incentive to ever stay on one email provider, because the files are always local cached somewhere where I could grab them.
Yeah.
And that is the other somewhat annoying thing, was that my personal email account, I had switched over to GApps back in 2013. I think I made the full switch over from my personal Gmail account to my domain email account from Google. And so that's going to get deleted, obviously. Yeah. And it was 17 gigabytes of email over the last number of years. Now, they're all downloaded local. I have them all, and they're all backed up in various places. So I just need a search ability of those emails that isn't reliant on Google. So that's the plan right now.
You know, it's funny. There used to be a company. Gosh, I can't remember it. They're a great company that had a local search app for Windows and maybe Mac. And also they did photos searching of some kind. And Google bought them. I can't remember their name now. But that would have solved your problem, actually, because it allowed you to run a little app on your device, you know, on your PC or Mac. And you could search pretty much anything. It was pretty remarkable. And, of course, Google bought them, and now it's gone as a, you know, as an add-on for those things. And I think the photo search lives on in Google Photos.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Okay. And the next one is also a Google change. And it, too, is Google Voice, which is something I don't even remember when it came out. It used to be a non-Google product, which Google bought.
Grand Central.
Central. Thank you.
In 2004 or 2005 when it was launched, if I remember right.
And you know, Google Voice is one of those remarkable services, free service, I should say, although there were some paid options too, that Google just decided wasn't interesting and, you know, has kept alive, thankfully for me, and but, you know, never really developed. And it's too bad, because I still think that had they done it correctly and paired it with, you know, their 15 different social attempts, including mm-hmm. various, you know, two-way comm, multi-way comm, it could have been Teams or Slack or one of those things, you know, before Slack, you know, to have a truly collaborative tool, you know, built collaboratively with their other tools. But that never happened, and so it's, you know, kind of like many of other. But in any case, in February, again, like my Outlook.com premium sunset, Google Voice itself is not going to disappear. But, you know, I got an email that says, you're receiving this email because you have a consumer, personal, just I might not know what consumer means. You have a consumer, personal Google Voice account, and are one of the few remaining users. Oh, I feel so bad. Using a legacy web feature that may be impacted as we complete the migration of all users to the modern experience, which we launched in 2017. Yes.
I'm okay with the old experiences on everything.
Yeah.
I was pretty happy with them. I'm pretty sure that's how you know that you've really gotten old in life, is when the modern experience holds absolutely no interest to you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, and they said, well, we let you know in last July that we're going to, you know, that the legacy version of Voice would soon stop receiving updates. It kind of stopped receiving updates a long time ago, but okay, fine. And blah, 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 blah. And the new and improved customer call forwarding, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so. And these changes only apply to the consumer personal. Again, they want to make sure I know what the word consumer means. Version of Google Voice. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not real smart. So, okay, fine. I'm not real smart. I get it. So starting mid-February, the legacy version of Voice will be phased out. And certain features will not carry over to voice.google.com. Which is the current website, by the way. They're not changing the domain. Or it's voice.google.com. Mm-hmm. So the things that aren't work will not work. You know, do not disturb timer. Ring scheduling. Settings for call carrier call forwarding. You know, where you forward from a another phone system. Call notes, which I didn't know it existed, and it was apparently removed in 2020 anyway. And voicemail only accounts. I'm not sure what that means. What is a voicemail only account? Is that what I have?
I think it was an account that only went to voicemail. We have to remember the features that Google Voice had when it first launched that made it interesting. And that, so I read that same list that you got, because I got the same email, and I was trying to figure out, what am I still using from this?
Yeah.
You have to remember that when Grand Central launched and when Google Voice launched, it was a different time and place.
Yes.
So the first idea was that it almost replicated an old answering machine where it would call you, it would announce that it was Google Voice or Grand Central, and you could listen to the person leaving you a voicemail.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And you could interrupt them and say, no, I'm actually here. Let's talk.
Yeah.
That was not a feature that a lot of people used, and so that got sunset. That was one of the first things Google axed when they took it over.
Yeah.
And they did have a lot of the same sort of mini PBX features that you might have expected in the mid-2000s. So voicemail only boxes where you could just, you know, I think at one point you could just do an announcement, no voicemail. They did conditional call forwarding on time for a number of things. So you could do, you know, between these hours, it goes to this phone number. Between these hours, it goes here. There were a lot of features that were just pretty advanced features that I don't think a lot of people used. And these features that they're talking about were holdovers. And plus, we have to remember there was a whole API that probably was utilized in this that you and I never used. So call notes was probably a feature in that API that we never had used, because it was probably never even in the web interface. It might have been stored along there. I don't think you and I will miss this as Google Voice users, but I do think it's just another thing. I don't know how much longer we're going to have Google Voice. You know,
I agree.
It seems like they keep chipping away different things at various times. And I do use Google Voice quite a bit.
Me too. Me too. You know, in the beginning, I should note that, you know, people might ask, well, gee, you know, you've got phones and all the various services associated with either your carrier or your brand, whether it's Apple or Android, that can do all of the stuff that Google Voice. Why did you get Google Voice, and why do you still have it? And the answer is, well, when we got it, I'm sure it's the same for you, John, these features didn't exist on our smartphones or their, you know, various services.
They didn't exist. And I still, to some extent, you know, I've thought about this because I use my Google Voice number. It's the public number I give out to everyone.
Me too.
And my other number is, you know, my actual iMessage number and all that. I don't give that out very often.
Yep.
But I've gone back and forth on if this is even a concern anymore. Phone numbers used to be one of those things that you guarded fairly regularly. And it seems now with call blocking and the ability to block a number at any time and spam, you know, the carriers doing spam detection and that sort of thing, it's less and less of an issue to me who has my phone number and who doesn't. If I don't want to talk to you, I'll just block you and I will never talk to you, you know, that serves the same purpose. And I really don't know people anymore that change their phone number. I've had the same phone number since 2002.
That is so true.
So, yeah, it's nice. The things about Google Voice that were really nice for me was that I could reply via the web interface. So
yes.
I could type out a whole long text message. That was something
I still
that,
do that
I didn't have the ability to do. I also... But now you can do that if you're an Apple user on your iPad, or you can do it on any device. Now that you can manage those things. So you're right. All of those things were only in Google Voice, and now they are in other systems. But it still was nice to have them in Voice. I would kind of miss them if they weren't in Voice.
Yeah. So the core features that we use will still be available post mid-February. And that's, you know, using it as an incoming alternative phone number or professional presence phone number, if you will, that you give out to anybody. And, you know, you can kind of deal with the spam that may be associated with it. And two, for texting for certain purposes. You know, I got to say, I still use it for texting, even though I have typable interfaces now. You know, I have a keyboard for my iPhone and my iPad and so forth. But the most important reason I got Google Voice, if I remember correctly, well, those are two. The first reason I gave you is to have kind of a professional presence for voice back then when it was more important. But secondly, back in the early to mid 2000s when Grand Central came out, texting was still a per message cost. And I think I had like 100 free messages a month, maybe 50. It was not a lot. You know, you can count them in the dozens, not the hundreds. In fact, I remember when my daughter became a teenager, I was like, I reluctantly paid a couple bucks more a month for her account so she could have, I think, 600 text messages a month or something. But, or 300 text, it wasn't a lot, again, you know, compared to where now where it's unlimited. But it was my text message solution because I just didn't want to pay extra for my own text messaging, which I didn't feel was that important at the time. I still don't use it a lot. So, you know, probably a couple dozen times a week. So I would still meet the 300, you know, text messages a month limit today. But it had a lot of value then. It still has value now. Like you said, I think, you know, that's my sister still sends my text messages to that account. And, you know, I've never asked her to change because it just works great. Right. I remember one other thing. I work in data centers, and sometimes in data centers, you got no cell reception at all. You know, this is before we had Wi-Fi repeaters and things like that. And so I would be able to get and send text messages from, you know, in a data center on a non-production network so that, you know, didn't interfere with other things. But I could get and receive text messages via the web there. So that was awesome. At any rate. Speaking of text message, I got a text message from my daughter. Oh, she just laughed at something I sent her. Good. I sent her a YouTube video. I send my daughter a lot of things. But I sent her a YouTube video of an orangutan driving a golf cart. Good driver, by the way. Much better driver than many people I see driving around Honolulu, let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, then that's a worthy text message right there.
But in any case. So those are the things. And, oh, one more thing. You can no longer purchase Google Voice credits in non-US dollar currency. Oh, because Google Voice is only available to US users by the summer of 2022. Yeah, okay. So if you're not in the US, you're not going to have Google Voice. So that's
just out of luck.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Yeah, you're just out of luck.
Yeah.
Google Voice is an interesting, I mean,
it's
we
great.
Have to remember it was also it also came out in a time with the credits that it was expensive to call a lot of places.
Yes.
Because we didn't have FaceTime. We didn't have reliable audio chat, bandwidth for it, all of those things. So, yeah.
And I think we had some free credit as personal free users, too. Like, not a lot, but...
I had a dollar of credit for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, literally $1.
Yeah. So, I think they gave me five, so maybe I'm five times better than you, but... but yeah, it was it still is a super good service, I think. You know, and I'm really disappointed that it never, for whatever reason, it was not promoted, didn't catch on, whatever. People didn't adopt it because I still think it has a lot of merit. You know, and I wish it was worldwide. In fact, I think I couldn't text to Europe when my daughter was doing her study abroad semester, and so we switched to Line. I think LINE. Which is a very popular text, or was a very, I don't know about now, was a very popular, you know, internet messaging service back in the mid-teens of the century. So, you know, around 2016, 2017, that time. Well, it really is an end of era for a lot of this stuff. And like you said, it's just that we're getting old, John, you know.
Well, and, you know, if you want to know, I did, remember how I said I was on a tech support call while we were podcasting?
Yes.
Something. This is how you know that you are using features that a company does not want you using anymore.
Yeah.
The feature I was trying to activate was a feature that the company no longer bundles, so you can't use it even if you want to.
Yeah.
But if you were grandfathered in, you had a bunch of credits that you could redeem to use this feature. So I went on, I logged in yesterday to my control panel after I saw our show notes and went, oh, gee, I wonder if I still have that. It's an email forwarding feature. I wonder if I still have that. And so I went in and I started looking at the interface and I went to the section where you can redeem these credits and it said, something fairly cryptic about there's a problem retrieving your additional products. Please try again. And trying again did not work. Because I don't think it ever works. I think they always just say, please try again, and it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
So I did some searching last night. You know, how do you fix this issue? Blah, blah, blah. Nothing worked. And then finally, and also there was something that said use a cacheless browser. So I opened up a new private window in Safari. I went in. I tried all these other things. Nothing was working. And so finally, I got the agent, and he said, you know, use an incognito window.
Oh, really?
So when I hear incognito window, my little spidey sense goes, oh, not just a private browsing window in Safari or in
Chrome,
Firefox,
yeah.
You want a Google Chrome incognito window.
Oh!
And so I fired up Google Chrome, and I went into an incognito window, and then it started. Then it showed up.
That is wild.
So that is how you find you have something so broken that it only works in one browser, in
one
incognito mode, in one mode, and it will not work on anything else.
That is wild.
I've been careful to not name the company, but it is a company that if you know their business practices, you would not find this in any way surprising that they made it this difficult in order to do this. Because this is a company that they're real good at upselling you to things. But they're not necessarily all that happy about you using their base products. They would like you to, and of course, you're paying for their base product,
which is
all the more bizarre when you really think about it. But they would like you. They would like you doing something else, if at all possible.
I think I know who it is. And I just want to note, while you were talking, I tried to repair my iPods Pro with my phone, and it did repair. Bluetooth repair. But now the Dash Find My is back on the device name. So I think my iPods Pro are just toast. I'll see if audio actually works when we drop off the podcast. I should note the reason why this is annoying, and I bring this up so many times during the podcast, is the way John and I do our podcast is I normally have a nice USB microphone. It's a Blue Ice, I think. Yeti or something, and I use AirPods Pro as my headset. But I couldn't use it. And, you know, you'll get a little bit of echo if I used a built-in speaker. So I plugged in a USB-C headset into my MacBook Pro, and this has been working fine. I might just do this from now on. But, boy, that's annoying because, you know, AirPods Pro are the single most expensive headphones I've ever bought in my entire life. I'm not a headphone connoisseur.
I have had
go ahead.
A few, you know, issues with that. I would just keep playing around with it and see what you can do. Because you'll get it, the repairing, once you get it repaired, it should be fairly stable. That's what I've found, where I had a pairing issue and do a factory reset and then repair them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I should try that. I will do that next. I should note my daughter, you know, got my wife's original set of AirPods as a hand-me-down a while back, probably a year or two ago, when my wife switched to the Pros. And it worked for her quite a while, and then one day it just kind of stopped pairing. Well, it started being flaky, and then it just stopped being able to pair, and I fussed with it. I did a reset, and it just never came back. It was, of course, long out of warranty, so I got her a pair of AirPods Pro for her one of her Christmas gifts this year, and that took care of that. But so she's much happier since this is a much better device anyway. But still disappointing. It's something that costs so much, you know, dies within just a couple of years. And to me, you know, what were the original AirPods Pro? About $180, something like that? I mean, not Pro, the original AirPods. So.
Oh, they were around that.
Yeah. You know,
they were expensive enough.
And I know those.
And I am, you know.
Go ahead.
Well, no, and I was just saying, and you and I think, are both interested to see what the next generation of AirPods Pro will be, because we're hoping there's going to be some health stuff built into that.
Yes, I want one that takes my temperature all the time. But anyway. You know, because we monitor everything else except our body temperature.
Well, you know, I did buy, and I don't know if I mentioned it on here, I bought a Withings or Nokia Thermo.
I got one of those too.
Temperature.
Yes.
Yeah, and I did this purely because I have no idea what my normal temperature is supposed to be. You know, so people are like, are you sick? Do you have it? I don't know. Do I normally run? Not many people actually normally run at 98.6. Yeah. A lot of people are higher, lower than that regularly. So I bought one just so that I would have the knowledge, because I'm curious.
You know, it's funny you mention that, because I've been really curious about this myself. About 20 years ago, I mean, it's a long time ago, maybe longer than 20 years ago. For some reason, I was running an ambient, well, maybe that's not the word. I was running a mild fever for 6 months. You know, I was like at 99 point something, which is not really considered a fever, but it's higher than what I thought was my normal temperature. So I was running like 99.5 every day for 6 months, you know, based on the old school like mouth thermometer that I used to use, and you know, I guess a mercury thermometer. And my doc couldn't figure it out. I had, you know, no infection, I had no sign of this, that, the other thing, bunch of tests. You're just running a fever for 6 months. And it finally broke, and it never recurred since then. But then I started taking my temperature fairly regularly, just cause I got so curious after that episode.
Mm-hmm.
And my body temp, let me rephrase. I stopped using a mercury thermometer after a while, but for the last 20 years or so, you know, with the infrared thermometers, like the ones you use with kids that you know, yep, stick in the ear, I run at about 97.5. So I'm not 98.6. You know, at least using those thermometers. And so, you know, your mileage may differ. If I started using a mouth, you know, mercury thermometer, it might still be 98.6. But at least if you use the ear things, they're not 98.6. And, you know, I it was funny because when I got various vaccinations, you know, you could see the temperature rise. And now that we have, you know, these temperature sensing devices on our wrists all the time, you know, you could see a little temperature pop. Why was it a temperature? Or maybe it was blood oxygen, one of those kind of pops. Yeah, it wasn't temperature. And so I thought that was really interesting. So, yeah, I would like constant monitoring. I think that would, or, you know, periodic monitoring throughout the day. I think that'd be really interesting from a metrics.
Well, I do that with the thermo, but you're right. It'd be nice if it always did that.
Yeah.
Because I've just been randomly at different times taking my temperatures just to see, just to establish kind of a baseline.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm really curious to see that. I hope it comes out sooner rather than later, like, you know, this spring or something. Any rate.
It'll be in your lifetime.
Yeah, well, you know, we say that. But
well, you know, we are mourning the loss of random celebrities this year. Louis Anderson and Meatloaf, which I did realize.
And Betty White.
That goes without saying. But I did realize that I'd never seen Meatloaf and Louis Anderson in the same place at the same time. So for all we know, that was a long time.
It was the same day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the same day. Anyhow, yeah. So somehow we spent over 30 minutes just ranting about three services.
We're angry people.
Yeah, you know, and my anger has now become more mourning than anger. You know, like I really appreciated my Outlook.com premium custom domain address feature. And, you know, it's not super important looking at it. So, yeah, I can make some shifts and we'll figure out if I stop getting emails next month and I need to, you know, just delete the MX record forwarding and just use regular email forwarding. But, we'll figure it out. We will figure it out. I'm trying to think if there are any other changes coming, but I can't think of anything. But we will see. You know, I was just thinking it'd be funny. Well, it'd be sad if Microsoft decides, you know, this personal Microsoft Teams thing, which John and I use to record. Because you know how infamous Microsoft is for killing off consumer products. So, as is Google. You know, Google kills all kinds of products. So, one thing they didn't kill, they actually brought, I think the Edge browser is getting RSS feed reader back. But at any rate, I got to go look at that. I don't use Edge much.
Except Edge is interesting to me because it's the default PDF reader on Windows 10. And, you know, that's like Microsoft taking a page out of the Apple playbook with Preview.
Yeah. Which was awesome, actually. Mm-hmm. Any rate, we got to get some of our friends back on for 2022. I was telling Don Sorcinelli, hey, we got to get you on. So we'll try to schedule him soon. Hopefully I don't have... The last time we tried to schedule him, I ran into... What was it? I think it was a weather emergency. We had like a storm coming and we lost power and it was just a real fun weekend. But anyhow, thank you as usual, John. This was podcast 390, coming up on 400, a couple of weeks. And it was goodbye to various services, or at least aspects of various services. And we will talk to you next time.